Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. So the question has been to me for the last 3 weeks, and the question has evolved as the time has evolved. Started out, have you gotten it? Think you're going to get it? You feel sick? You feel all right? And then it evolved into, why aren't you getting sick? Because Dawn got it first, November the 9th, roughly. Then Molly got it. Then Tony got it. And so everybody was waiting for me to get it. So about a week or so ago, the kids started asking the question, Dad, why aren't you getting it? And so I finally just started doing this. Thank you for laughing. It's just a joke.
Super Dad.
And it's right. In my mind, I thought, that's it. I'm going to go buy a Superman shirt, and I'm going to put it underneath my preacher shirt, and I'm going to get up here and explain to all you people that, don't tell anybody. But you know as well as I do, I probably wouldn't have made it 2 steps out of church. Lightning bolt would have come down, or, you know, all right, I got COVID or cancer or whatever. So, and, of course, I'm joking. I'm kidding. I'm not trying to make light of any of those things. I'm just trying to tell you. One reason and one reason only that this diabetic pastor hasn't gotten COVID yet. It's not God's will. And I hope and pray that it stays not his will. I could get it tomorrow. We don't know. And most likely, unlike my wife and 2 children, I would probably not have as easy of a go. It's hard to say. We don't know. We've seen just about every experience out there. Some have gotten it and done quite well with it. Some have gotten it and went to heaven. Some have gotten it and are still struggling today, months after. So, we just don't know. And I am just wonderfully grateful to God that he has seen fit to prepare or protect me from that at this point, because I am one of those with existing preconditions. And we do know that those folks seem to struggle more than most. We have been trying to keep the name of Mark Pfeiffer in front of you for that very reason, because Mark is diabetic. He didn't know that until he showed up at the hospital with COVID, and he is struggling greatly. It's my understanding, and if we have family here, you're more than welcome to give a more recent update, but it's my understanding that this week has been better than the last 2. And so we praise God for that. So I'm asking you to continue to pray for Brother Mark. If you don't know who Mark Pfeiffer is, Mark is a faithful member, has been for years and years at Friendship Baptist Church. Whether he is currently attending there, I couldn't tell you as much as he's just been a wonderful member to that church over the years, him and his family. And Mark was pivotal. And when I can't overstress that word in us building the camp at Jesus Camp. And so Mark means a lot to our association and to our churches. And so, you know, I've kind of got 4 elements of today's service. That was the first element, was to tell a funny. And then the second element was a memorial. We understood as a family, even though honestly the crowd was very good for a funeral crowd during this COVID era, but we knew that many of you would not be able to come, it being a work day and then adding the pandemic on top of that. So I just want to, I've got 2 phrases here, 2 paragraphs, if you will, that I'm just going to share. If you have gotten to Bethel in the last 10 years, it's very difficult for you to know, because the last 10 years of Ken's life were not anything like the previous 70. And he was, you can't overstate, again, his influence to this church and how God used Ken to get Bethel where she is and where she was supposed to be. Ken was an embodiment of the reality of what every church needs from her members. He was ever willing, present, and available to do anything and everything to advance the kingdom of God through his local church. Am I telling you that Ken never had a bad day? Oh, my goodness, no. Am I telling you that Ken was perfect? Absolutely. Wouldn't dare say that, because we know no one is. What I'm telling you is that when Ken messed up, he made things right, and he tried like crazy to be what God needed him to be for this church, for God's kingdom. The challenge of every pastor is to communicate to every worshiper that the health and growth of the church is their personal responsibility. Ken bought into that long before I ever showed up. And Ken was an influencer when I showed up in 87, and he remained that. If I could get Ken on board, the church was on board type thing. And that could be said of Ed Leach. That could be said of Jack Powers, Maxine Hoffman, and you just kind of go down the line. But Ken was certainly one of those, we call them bell cows, that they influenced the church. Obviously, he's my father-in-law. And so we absolutely want to give that proper, if you will, memorial to just an absolute great man. And there is no greater comfort from his loss than knowing that we will see him again. We know that Ken Burnett had accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior at a very young age. Fred Squire Burnett was Ken's dad, and Fred pastored here for 17 years way back when, and just faithful people and faithful servants. Third part of today's presentation, if you will, we're going to talk about, and this is the first sermon, most likely going to preach the second sermon tonight, of a four-part series. So we will have this, if you will, tucked away before our Christmas Sunday on the 20th, if my memory serves me. But so this Sunday and next Sunday, be presenting a four-sermon series. If you're not able to be here on Sunday evening, we will have it. We'll get it on the media. You know, you can get a CD, whatever the case may be. But I want you to have availability to all four sermons, because this is very important to understanding how things work in yours and my Christian experience. And maybe this is the word of the day, but you really can't overstate the importance of understanding how this works. Now, I want to give a little disclaimer. If you do not leave this sermon today a little confused, I probably haven't done my job. Okay? If you're just a little confused, that's okay. Don't give up. Brother Ben's not preaching a new doctrine. Brother Ben's not trying to, you know, slip something in on you. I'm just trying to explain to you how things work, if you will, from a biblical perspective. And so if you come out a little confused, just stay with it. Get those next three messages type deal. It's okay, because you're only getting a little part of it today. With that said, I hope and pray that it, instead of confusing, as the Despicable Me movie, you remember that? Light bulb. That's what I'm hoping comes off today. So let's all stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word. We're looking at Genesis chapter 2, verse 27. You know what? There's not 27 verses in chapter 2. So we're looking at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. I've been in quarantine, okay? Take it easy on me. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen. There's three portions to that verse that exposes the three entities that every person with under the sound of my hearing today possesses. You remember in another verse, God said to the other two entities of his being, let's create man in our image. Three entities to God. There's three entities to man. Look at it one more time. And the Lord God formed man. That's his body. Okay, he formed a body. Where from? From the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. It doesn't say it here, but that's the Spirit. The Spirit of God gave you and I not his Spirit, but a Spirit. He gave you a Spirit. And man became a living soul. So those are the three parts of every person that I'm speaking to here today. Body, soul, and Spirit. Now, we say that a lot. I've heard it said on your body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. Did you know that biblically that is the wrong order? The right order, and this is the sermon in a sentence. This is where hopefully in the next four sermons I'm going to get you to. The proper order in the title of today's message is a dominant spirit. Spirit, soul, body. That's the proper order that you and I should be experiencing on a daily basis. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we beg you to to open our hearts and eyes and ears and minds and spirits to your word today. Teach us about how we operate. Help us to connect to this. And as a result, help us to become more like you. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. And so, I have some statements here that I'm just going to be reading through that's going to be the message. These aren't necessarily points as much as they are the lifeblood. This is the understanding that I want everyone to get to. And again, stay with it. It's going to take four sermons to completely develop this. This comes out of the book, Christian Discipleship by Stephen Collins. I was exposed to this book 30 years ago, and this particular teaching has changed the way I, if you will, battle sin. It's changed the way I see how I operate, and it helps me understand how I am supposed to operate. And so I want to try to help us to get, if you will, to where we need to be. Now, I told the first service this. This isn't anything new, and hopefully all it's going to do is go, well, yeah. You know, you might not have been saying it this way, but this is the way God intends for you and I to operate. And so one of the things that I want to point to you, first of all, and you feel free to turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to start with verse 7. This is the explanation of one of the first things that I want to say. My first comment here is, there's only two divisions in this planet of people. It's not red, yellow, black, and white. It's not America, Chinese, you know, Asian, fill in the blank. There's only two divisions of people. Lost, saved. That's it. There's only two divisions. The Holy Spirit is the entity that teaches the Christian. Now, yes, he uses pastors, he uses deacons, he uses Sunday school teachers, he uses moms and dads, but we are simply the mouthpiece. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. And this passage brings that out in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but it also brings out a very, very important element that I want and need you to connect to for us to all get in the train from the depot at the same time. Let's read it, and I'll try to help you understand that. But we speak, Paul says, the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Why did they not? He's going to tell you that. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We take that verse and we apply it to heaven. And even though I don't think you're necessarily doing damage to this portion to do that, you're missing the point of this portion. God has prepared a wonderful life for you right here. Heaven's just going to be, if you will, the whipped cream and cherry on top. But God wants you to have an amazing, adventurous life right here. But you've got to be connected to His Spirit to have it. You've got to be able to communicate your spirit to His Spirit to have the life that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, heart, nobody knows type thing. What God has planned for you unless you connect to Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. You see, your ear will hear. Your eye will see. Your heart will experience if your spirit will connect with the Spirit of God. And you will hear what He has for you to do for Him on this planet. Amen. For what man, hang on, But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? In other words, only you know what's really deep down there in that heart. Well, the same is true for God. Only God knows what is deep down in his heart, but he wants to communicate it to you. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, here it is, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. There's another passage that says this. The lost, and this is BK paraphrase, the lost cannot understand the things of the Word of God because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, you have to have the Spirit of God to understand the book that the Spirit wrote.
That's right.
Now, for the last 6 months to 2 years, you've been hearing me. I've been trying to change my tone, because if I'm not careful, talking, if you will, as a conservative pastor, and I believe that if you're a biblical pastor, you're going to be a conservative pastor. That's my humble opinion. But if you're not careful, you're going to think that I don't like all these people over here that don't believe anything that the Word of God teaches, type thing. They believe diametrically opposed to what the Bible teaches and the such. And so for the last 6 months to 2 years, I've been trying to make sure you understand that I don't feel that way. Even though they're acting as enemies towards me because they're trying to shut me up. They don't want me to preach the truth of God's Word. They're trying to change the way I act, so on and so forth. But I still don't see them as enemies. And watch this. Even if I did see them as enemies, God tells me I got to love them. So I might as well not see them as enemies. You know? And they're the people I'm trying to reach. I've told you that for the last 6 months to 2 years. When I got into this study about 4 weeks ago, in that office, God broke my heart for their condition. You see, it makes me mad, some of the things that they say. But when I understand that most, if not all of the things that they are saying that are diametrically opposed to my way of life, they're not saying them because they necessarily believe them. They're saying them because they don't have any ability to understand what I'm saying. And I'm not telling you we need to have pity. I'm telling you we need to have compassion. And God is helping me to have compassion. And I said it in the first service, but you know, I've referred to AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and the such, and I'm just using her because I figure most of you have heard of her. That's the only reason. And I don't ever refer to those people to put them down, to be sarcastic or hateful. I'm telling you that these are the very people we're trying to reach. And it sounds like I'm being condescending, not on any level. Because church, God came to me when I was lost, undone, deserving of hell. And he could do the same for her. He could do the same for every person that is diametrically opposed to God's word because they do not have what they need to understand what we're putting down. You know, you heard, you know, you smell what I'm stepping in? You heard that? They don't have the ability to smell it yet. But you know what? I believe this with all my heart. They're going to get the same opportunity that I got. The Holy Spirit is going to present to them sooner or later, and he may use you or me. He's going to present to them the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as the payment for their sin. And when they get saved, now they've got what they need, and it's going to light bulb. They're going to get it, okay? So That is all basis. That's foundation that we need to understand where we're at and what's going on. So statement number three, the function of the body, and we're just breaking this verse down, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The function of the body is to experience his environment. You and I have sight, if we've been blessed with that, hearing, touch, smell, taste, and a marvelous computer-like brain to communicate, exist, and live in this three-dimensional world. That is, you know, sometimes I think if you're not careful, when you hear a gospel preacher preaching, you think, well, boy, you don't like the body much. It's not that. We should be extremely grateful for this, it'll come to me, spacesuit that we've been given to handle this environment. This is the spacesuit. The first person I ever heard say that was Larry Burkett. This is the spacesuit that God has given every spirit and soul to communicate to his or her environment. And I'm thankful for it. I really enjoyed my experience last night because I told the person that allowed me to hunt on their property, I told them, I've had one of the most anticipatory hunts I've ever had. Because where the stand was, everything that approached the area came from behind me. And you know, in hunting, you need to be still, okay? I still haven't learned that, but you need to be still. And so everything in the world was coming down that hill, and I wanted to see it to see if I could, you know, had something to shoot and such. And I'm convinced, even more so today, that all throughout our region, there are seminars that teaches squirrels how to like deer. You know, a squirrel is supposed, when the squirrel just abandons the seminar and acts like he's supposed to, he goes through all the leaves. You know it's a squirrel. He's just losing his mind looking for the nuts. But if they're doing what the seminar has taught them, just to aggravate the hunters, they go, that's what a deer does. Squirrels aren't supposed to do that. And if it was legal, I'd shoot every one of those squirrels with a 308. You talk about overkill. Yeah. Well, what am I trying to tell you? My body, I have what I need to communicate to my world around me and to receive communication. We can communicate because of our body. And it's extremely important. Statement number four. The spirit. The spirit is the mechanism of operation and communication with God. Now so far, I mean, this is pretty straightforward. Your body is so we can communicate with each other in the world that we live in. The spirit was given to you to communicate to God. The spirit of God created your spirit, and your spirit is to be in control, the dominant spirit, and your spirit talks to God. Let me see what my next statement is. The soul. The soul was produced when the spirit was united with the body. So when God gave you your spirit, connected your spirit with your body, that created the soul. The soul is the mind, will, and emotion. The word soul means conscious life or conscious personality. The created role for the conscious personality, the soul, is the ability to have a voluntary personal relationship with God. There it is. We just need to understand this. So you've got a dominant spirit that communicates to God. You've got a body and a soul, mind, will, and emotion, that is, if you will, stimulated by the senses of the body, but is under the control of a dominant spirit. That is a Christian that is experiencing the abundant, filled life. When you have a dominant spirit telling the mind, will, and emotion what to do with the stimulants coming from the body. This is people that overcome fill in the blank. Alcoholism. They overcome bad language. They overcome domestic abuse. Why? Because the dominant spirit tells the soul, mind, will, and emotion, how they are going to respond to the stimulants from the body. Amen. So look here at number 9. Genesis chapter 3 records where it all got messed up. Adam asserted his conscious personality over his spirit's created role of dominance. You see, Adam knew exactly what he was supposed to do. I am supposed to communicate to God, my spirit with his spirit, and then I am supposed to tell my body what to do. And he did that. Him and Eve did that for a while. We're really not told how long they did it, but they did it for a while. They were allowed to eat of one tree, and they did, and they ate of the garden, but they weren't allowed to eat of this other tree. And they were told, the day you do it, you surely will die. And to be straight up specific, Adam was told. And he was expected to tell his wife. And we have every reason to believe that he did. And so here they are. And on this fateful day, the devil shows up. The tempter. The accuser of the brethren. The liar. And he tempts Eve. Now, I want every one of you, whether you're a man, woman, boy, or girl, I want you to put yourself in Eve's situation, understanding now what we understand about the body, the soul, and the spirit. She knows what her husband has told her, what God has told her husband. She knows that. But she also sees this fruit. And the tempter tells her, you've got no good reason not to partake. She sees it. Her mind takes it in. Her will decides, I want it. And she reaches out. She communicates. She reaches out and takes it. Now, all of this is going on in front of Adam. Adam is not absentee. Adam is passive. And Adam is watching, and with his mind, he's seeing. Remember what he said about Eve? Whoa, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Finally, I got a woman. And he loves this woman, and he's enamored with her. And he sees she's fixing to separate herself from God. And if he would have kept the dominant spirit in the right place, and that dominant spirit would have said, hey, you got to stop this. Stop it lovingly, but you've got to stop it. And went, babe, you understand what you're doing here? He didn't do that. He stepped back and let it happen. His mind rose up over his spirit and said, hey, I'm with her. His will said, I go with her. And his passive body let it happen. They both were at fault. But he had the greater fault because God had given him the commandment. And so God didn't come to Eve and say, you messed up. He came to Adam. You've messed up. And what did Adam do? Well, the woman you gave me. He blamed God. He blamed Eve and God. And what did Eve do? Well, the serpent. And what did the serpent do? He got cursed for the rest of his life. So that's how it all got messed up. So Adam asserted his conscious personality over his spirit's created role of dominance. Number 11, as far as my statements, when man exercised his mind, will, and emotion over his spirit, the result was immediate spiritual death. You see, God had told Adam, the day, the moment that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the devil challenged that. And so now Adam and Eve are hiding because their eyes have been enlightened. And they realize they're naked because they were clothed with the righteousness of God. But now they're naked, and all they can do to hide their nakedness is come up with some fig leaves. And they're hiding from God. They used to walk with God in the cool of the day. But now they're scared to death of me. You know why? They're going to die. But what they didn't understand is, no, you're not going to die right now, physically. But spiritually, you've already died. Spiritually, they were done. Dead in their trespasses and sins. So, sin brought spiritual separation from God. The spirit of man was created to be dominant over the soul and the body. In the fall, the spirit of man lost its dominance over the soul and body and gave that place to the soul to operate the body apart from God. And so, very honestly, church, one of the simplest messages, hopefully, explains to you why we do have alcoholism. The mind sees it. The tongue tastes it. The body likes it. And they make a decision. I'm going to do that again. Sees it, tastes it, likes it. I'm going to do that again. And before you know it, the body is telling the soul what to do. The soul thinks it's in charge. It's the appetites. And then a man walks past a magazine rack and he sees stuff he shouldn't see. And before you know it, the body is saying, I want that. I want that. And the soul agrees. And so now that man is addicted to pornography. And then I've picked on men here in first service. I said, ladies, you'll have to help me, you know. And so I just picked on the thing that I'm acquainted with, but not from the standpoint that you might think. So y'all get ready to get mad at me and then just get over it. You ready? If you overspend. I didn't get any amens. Men, you chicken. You overspend. And that's all of us. That's all of us. But why do we overspend? We see it. We want it. The body tells the soul. The soul says, get it. Monday was my last day of quarantine. And so I'm in there, I'm studying, I'm working at the counter. I can do most of my work with my phone and or the Bible. And I notice at 11 o'clock, this van pulls in. And she had warned me. 2 weeks ago, she warned me. There'll be a lot of packages coming in. It's Christmas time, okay? So I go to open the door to greet the 5 packages fall on my feet. I hadn't even noticed that. The guy says, been shopping, huh? I said, nope. And he went, ooh. I said, no. She told me. She warned me. It's all good. It's Christmas stuff. But everyone of us in here knows that if we're not careful, we can over fill in the blank. We can overspend. We can overeat. We can over talk. We can over fill in the blank. Why? The body is telling the soul, I want this. And the soul makes it happen. Mind, will, and emotion. So church, none of us should be shocked and surprised that our world is out of control. Because our world is filled with people just like us that our bodies' urges, our bodies' appetites, our bodies' senses are telling the soul, mind, will, and emotion what to do. And the spirit is dead. Now we're going to talk tonight about two types of Christians. So we've talked about two types of people in the world, lost and saved. Tonight we're going to talk about two types of Christian. And then the next two sermons will be about how to put the dominant spirit back into its proper place. Let's all stand. So, I'm going to try to make it quick because I already had you stand, but the fourth element of today's service is this. So I have been challenged by God, and it's been during this time of studying, you know, the whole spirit being the dominant role, if you will, in my Christian life. I've been challenged. We have this tradition, and I do not want to stop it or change it, but I want to add to it. And so the tradition is a Christmas gift to Jesus. Can you just imagine how wrong it would be if you went to your birthday party and everybody there got a present except you? Oh, the inhumanity. You wouldn't go again. It would be terrible. Now, because of our tradition as a church, that's not the case in our homes. Because the Sunday closest to Christmas, we give a gift to Jesus as a church. And I love it. I think it's right. And we don't tell you what to give. You pray and you give. And every dime you give goes to the missions of our association. We share the gospel with those finances. So, we're going to continue to do that. I just want to add something. And it happened like this. I'm sitting in my desk Tuesday, out of quarantine. Woohoo! Come to work. It's been 3 weeks, folks. Come to work. And now, don't get me wrong. I've been working. I'm just saying. To get to come to my office. And I get an email from Focus on the Family. Focus on the Family says, Ben, if you'll give $60, that'll pay for one ultrasound for our resource pregnancy centers to help a young lady in a crisis pregnancy, for her to see that baby before she makes the decision of ending the life of that child. The statistics are very clear. An overwhelming amount of women that they submit to an ultrasound, they choose life after they see that ultrasound. So $60 to save a life. And I'm like, well, sure, absolutely. And then the Holy Spirit starts working. Well, Ben, you know there's pregnancy resource centers close to you. And as great of a, you know, industry and organization that Focus on the Family is, buy local. Can I get a witness? You know, spend local. Amen. And on no level am I trying to tell you not to give to a big organization. You do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. But God used that solicitation to point me to, and I texted Rick because I know he's involved. Who is the people that you help with the Pregnancy Resource Center? My Life Medical, or My Medical Life Clinic, down Highway 30, across from Walmart at High Ridge. So I called her. Karen Ludwig. I called her. And I said, hey, Rick Thomas pointed me toward you. I told her the whole story. And she said, well, Brother Ben, it's exciting to hear from you and to talk about this. Our figures are closer to 76 to 86. That's where our figures are at to give an ultrasound. And they do. And they share the gospel with every lady that comes in. They help no matter what the lady believes. They help. So I said, okay. So this is my challenge. It's between you and God. I'm not going to know. Other than if you bring a card with you on the 20th. Let's ask God to provide at least enough to pay for one ultrasound, so a check for $80. We're just going to put a figure on it, $80. We're going, as a church, we're going to provide cards, but if you want to go buy a card, I want to encourage them. They're doing the work. Down the road, they're doing the work. They're counseling the ladies. They're giving the ultrasounds. They're doing the work. So I would love for them to get 20 or 30 or plus cards from Bethel Baptist Church with an $80 gift in it to pay for an ultrasound. Just think, if we save 20 to 30 lives in this area, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. And I just love you enough to pass the challenge on, okay? If you're not all about it, that's your business. That's between you and God. But I'm asking you to prayerfully consider it, and we as a church are going to, what would the word be, facilitate you being able to do that. And so you will bring your Christmas gift to Jesus that goes to our missions program, and then you'll bring an additional Christmas gift of $80 to save a life of an unborn child. If you've got any questions, you talk to me. There'll be more in the know next Sunday. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, this is an invitation. We're inviting you to come. I'll send you with someone gender appropriate. They'll share the gospel with you. Let's sing.